your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Health Forum with Ruth Sackman. All comments, views, and opinions are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. In the next hour, Ruth and her guests guide you through the maze of health information and misinformation out there. So pull up a chair. Here's your host, Ruth Sackman.
Well, welcome to Health Forum. We're back again. Today our topic is going to be cell therapy. It may be new to many of you, but you're going to find it important and helpful. But before we get into the topic, let me introduce you to my co-host, Consuelo Reyes.
Hi, it's good to be with you. I think before
it's
we get
It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, vice versa. I think before we get into the topic, I'd like to give that toll-free number for your calls in the second half hour of the show, and that number is 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792.
I'll be prepared with your questions, and we'll be glad to answer them. Now, let's take up this topic. What I'm really trying to aim at is for you to be knowledgeable about glandulars, but there's a whole history behind it that is important. And it started about 70 years ago in Switzerland. A Dr. Paul Niehans was working with some black lamb and had heard about something called cell therapy from a previous doctor a number of years earlier. Well, what happened there at the hospital to which he belonged was that accidentally a surgeon had cut into the parathyroids of a woman patient, and they reached for Dr. Niehans because they knew the work he was doing, because there was nothing else they could do for this lady. And so what he did was get the parathyroids from one of the lambs, crudely break it up, put it into a syringe, and injected it into the woman. And it worked. In other words, the good, healthy cells from the lamb repaired the damaged cells and the damage in the thyroid. This is what we call cell regeneration. And that was the first time that was done, 70 years ago. And the clinic that Dr. Niehans worked at is still in existence. It's called La Prairie, and it's in Switzerland. But what is most unusual about the situation, this, by the way, is the forerunner of stem cells, which many of you may have heard because that term is now popular in the United States. But cell therapy was the forerunner of stem cells. Here in the United States, our FDA negated the process, criticized it, sneered at it, and it has been illegal to use cell therapy in the United States. And yet there are prominent people, including one pope, who went to the clinic in Sweden, in Switzerland, and used cell therapy in situations of health problems. Let me give you one typical example that it might have been used for. We know that they've been using a form of cell therapy for diabetes, trying to get the pancreas to work better, but it's done in a scattered way and not controlled, and it doesn't get picked up and used by the medical community because it just isn't officially adopted. But the concept is very simple. What happens is an organ, if you give cells to the body, an organ, only the organ that you're giving the cells, for instance, if you're giving liver cells, only the liver organ will pick that up. Max Gerson, who ran a clinic in Nanuet, New York for years, and then when he died, a number of years later, his daughter set up a clinic in Mexico, in the Tijuana, Mexico area. He always used liver juice. And he did that specifically to enhance liver function, because the liver was the most essential organ for healing. And this is probably one of the reasons why that program did well. But unfortunately, the livers today are not healthy, and there are other things you can use. When I say not healthy, I need to qualify that. The livers today, the liver is the organ that collects most of the toxicity because it fulfills the effort of trying to clean out the toxins, but usually the liver is loaded with toxicity because of the process. So the livers are not very healthy, and they've discontinued using the livers. But there are substitutes, and this is what I would like you to know and to understand, that there are things to do. Now, with cell therapy, you must understand this, that that's a system of what we call organ-specific. In other words, if you want to enhance heart function, you give heart cells. Kidney function, use kidney cells. Thyroid function, use thyroid cells. And an injection of this, which is available, as I say, around the world. And let me give you an idea of what the United States has negated. It's in Canada. It's in nearly every country in Europe, including France, Italy, England, Spain. It's in South America, Mexico, and we have been deprived of the value of cell therapy. Unless we had the funds to go overseas and spend the time there, which of course some people did have. It was primarily used by people who were in an industry, for instance, sort of show business industry, who had to maintain a youthfulness. In other words, if you got young, healthy cells, it not only rejuvenated the organ, the internal organ, which to us is the most important value of it, but it also improved the appearance so that the person looked more youthful. There are many well-known people in the United States who use it and seems to have lived to quite an old age because of its ability to rejuvenate, or some people use the term called regenerate.
Some call it the fountain of youth.
Yes, Consuelo. As a matter of fact, we talked this morning about what was going on in New Jersey, and since you brought it up this morning, I'd like you, when I get to a point where I've sort of reached the point I want to make here, I'd like you to tell them about that, will you?
Oh, okay, sure.
Sure. All right. Now, so that's cell therapy by injection. Today we have stem cells, and there's an enormous amount of confusion about stem cells. Now, the difference between stem cells that has been originally promoted was to get those cells from the placenta and cord blood and the cord itself. And the reason for that is it has the whole range of things, because it's feeding a fetus which has to grow and has to have everything in it. It has to take care of every organ, not be cell-specific. Now, that's bogged down in research here in the United States, when they could go by all of the actual work that has been done in Europe with cell therapy to know what to do here. But there's too much talk about using fetal cells, and there's a controversy all over the place about using fetal cells. There are a number of religious groups who are opposed to it, and the argument is that women might have babies or become pregnant and abort deliberately. It's somewhat far-fetched, but the argument sustains in some circles because you don't have to use fetal cells. What you use is material that today is discarded. Some people have become familiar with stem cells, and there are companies that have been established today that will take that placenta, the cord, blood, and the cord, and freeze it at, well, what I would consider a nominal fee, considering the value that if anything arises in the family, anyone in the family, that can be used. It isn't as though it's like an organ transplant that comes from one adult to another or a near adult to another, where the physiology is so different that you have to have a match in order to do a transplant. That doesn't work the same when you're using stem cells because they have not been corrupted in any way. If you're using the stem cells from the placenta, these have not developed any negative things about them, and that they're going to find out in time. Now, I was in touch with a doctor who was head of research at one of the pharmaceutical companies in New Jersey, and I spoke to him about this, and he's doing stem cell research, by the way, but he's very careful, as most people are, not to run into difficulty with government agencies that are not on the same page with most of us, and he's waiting to get approval to do his work. And what I said to him, I said, you know, it might be possible to take those placentas and instead of paying for them to be frozen, they might be lyophilized. Lyophilized means they're freeze-dried. And his reply to me was, well, that would kill them. Now, I've had experience with cell therapy from Europe. They do a lot of freeze-drying of cells. Nearly everything that's sent to any of the clinics, whether they're in Mexico or Canada to other places, they're freeze-drying nearly all the cells. They've rarely come in today as fresh cells.
And they don't lose potency, do they?
And they've tried them out, actually. I'm glad you asked the question. Oh, we're coming to the middle, but let me say, I'll bring it up again of what they tried out on a 5-year plan of cell therapy.
Okay, we'll be back on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with the vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
Tune in to Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Health Crusades seeks to enhance one's lifestyle, physical, mental, emotional, financial, and intellectual empowerment. Your host, John Farley, the author of Living Lean and the creator of the revolutionary Sleep Slim Weight Management System, brings expert guests to inform and entertain you each week. A live healing circle is also provided for those facing life-challenging health issues. That's Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
We're back again.
Shall I give the call in number first?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, let's do that. It's toll-free, 1-866-472-5792. 1-866-472-5792.
All right, I was just about ready to explain that they had tried to see if lyophilized cells held their potency. There was a group up in Canada that took a vial of these lyophilized cells. I don't know whether you want me to use the term freeze-dried or the conventional term in medical circles is lyophilized, but we need to understand what we're talking about. They took some vials of these cells and put them aside for 5 years. And then took them out and tried them, and they had the same potency at the end of 5 years as they had when they were put away. So you see, the argument that they will die or that the lyophilizing cells will kill them, I don't think has validity. And not only that, it is as simple as ABC to try it. Mm-hmm. It's a simple process to lyophilize cells and then to see if they're potent afterwards instead of concluding in advance that it won't work. And why not try it, especially with the medical community always looking for things that are scientifically determined, and then they'll swallow things that aren't scientifically determined. I don't mean to say that about the whole medical profession, but it happens in many instances to some people. All right. Now, what I've been leading up to with all of this is that all of this is the forerunner of something that's available from the food supply in health food stores, and these are called glandulars. What they are is tissue from the various glands that have been dried and made into tablets, and this was originally done by Dr. Royal Lee, who was one of the early pioneers in the health movement. The company that he formed is Standard Process Laboratories. It still exists, and they have about the biggest line of glandulars of any company that I know. And they're producing them in the same way they did originally. Now, these glandulars, a lot of people are using them today. And we spoke last week about the thyroid and what can be done to enhance thyroid function when people have hypothyroidism. And it's quite possible that the thyroid is not working out of range, that it's working within the normal range, but not doing its work adequately, not metabolizing calcium competently, and people are suffering milder symptoms of what a thyroid deficiency would cause. And so many people are taking these glandulars, the thyroid glandular, and that is designed to enhance or repair or regenerate, whichever term makes sense to you, the function of the thyroid, and very often that's all that's needed. And usually, and you want to look, if you're going to look for glandulars and you need the thyroid glandular or any of the other glandulars, they have adrenal, they have things for the kidney, as I said, the liver, the pancreas, which Kelly always felt needed enhancement, and these glandulars can do that. The instructions, because there's nothing toxic about them, They are not harmful. They come from a food source. Most people are taking them 1-3 times a day, which is recommended on the bottle. If you take less, it's all right. But in many instances, it's all that the patient with the low thyroid has needed. That doesn't apply to all of them. Some of them need to go on further and have actually prescription medication. But you need your thyroid to work. You need all of the glands to work. You need every system of the body to work if you want to maintain health. It doesn't have to work 100%. Nature, or let's say Mother Nature, is kind. None of us are working at 100%, and certainly at a late age we don't, but it has to work at a level that helps us to function and function adequately. We don't have to think we're at 100%, but adequately is an essential. So you can see what we're talking about the glandulars. You may want to look into them for your health. They may be needed. They may not be needed. Your doctor can help you to determine whether you ought to take them or not. I know some people who are just taking some of the more important glandulars in small quantities, and it really... it keeps them feeling young and looking young and energetic.
They're relatively inexpensive.
Compared to what it would be to go out of the country to get cell therapy or things of that kind, it is inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And most of them won't give it up. Before I go on, I don't want to forget for you to... give the information about what has come out about New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
It's important.
Yes, we were talking about stem cells and how there's such confusion about using from aborted fetuses and how that's a huge controversy. It seems that New Jersey's really taking the lead. All of New Jersey's 15 Catholic hospitals just yesterday have announced that they are going to have a policy to encourage the saving of umbilical cord blood when the child is born in the state's cord blood bank so that it can be used for research. And the state is really, really taking lead from on this whole issue, it seems, as far as putting money into research. So it does seem like a very encouraging situation, even though their interest may be because they don't want to get into the abortion argument, they are going to be doing research in a much larger way in New Jersey on these umbilical cord stem cells.
All right. And as we talked earlier, that California is also doing some research, but not on the same basis.
No.
I think they need to go into the umbilical cord and the placenta. I think those areas are healthier. They're uncontaminated.
Plus, there's as a rule, abundant supply. It's so available.
Oh, that's an excellent part of it, that it's so available. And it moves all of this out of the area of controversy.
Right. And this is really the first time a state has focused on stem cells. So that's quite good.
Yes, it is good. All right. And we certainly would like to see that thing grow around the country in spite of what the federal government is doing. There is no reason why the states can't take steps to take care of the people within their state. Because I think the federal government is bogged down in this whole idea of using fetal cells, and they know there's a controversy, and they're talking about cloning. Cloning never produces the original in the same healthy way that people think it does, or that those people doing research would like to think it does. In instances where they cloned the sheep or some of the others, first of all, the cloned sheep is not young anymore.
Right.
He's the same age as the sheep it was cloned from. And there are other health problems that exist. I think we have to put certain things aside as not being beneficial or effective, and I think one of them might be intriguing for scientists and researchers, and that is cloning, And forever, I don't care if it stays in the laboratories forever, do you see? Another thing I think needs to be looked at more carefully and more cautiously is gene therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd like to compare some of the things that have been okayed by our Food and Drug Administration, which is the arbiter, supposedly, of maintaining health for the American people. They have approved things that have turned out to be deadly. And I use my terms very carefully. When I say deadly, I mean deadly, like the Vioxx and some of the other things that are causing liver damage and heart problems.
The antidepressants.
Some of the antidepressants, do you see? And these have been approved as though there's an essential need for it, that it does no harm. And the argument always is used as directed. And even in spite of being used as directed, there are victims of many of these things before they take it off the market. One of the latest things, of course, is this Bausch & Lomb eye drop that's causing blindness. I'm not blaming the company to that extent. There is an organization, a taxpayers organization, that is in place specifically to see that nothing of that sort goes on the market. Well, evidently, it may be failing in its duty if some of the things appear on the market and in time cause a lot of trouble. You see, sometimes doctors aren't even reporting things because they're not connecting the fact that the patient took something 10 years earlier and maybe was on it for 10 years until it produced hazardous results, and they don't connect the thing to the original drug until many doctors send in reports or they say they're wondering if it comes until finally the thing has to be examined. Many things are reported to FDA and reported to the pharmaceutical industry that sits there for a long time and then finally has to be recognized as dangerous. And this is a much more innocent area where they can experiment more readily and without danger. They can do it with animal systems without any danger. Now, the stem cells. Now, let me explain why we're so interested in this. We're interested in health in general. This program is designed to bring as much health information to the public and make them knowledgeable about what they're doing and not necessarily feel as though they're under the care of someone and they have to swallow everything as though it's written in the Bible, when it's not. It's going through a certain process. But we're dealing with cancer patients. And in many instances, some of them are found to be, especially in metabolic programs, which many of them are undertaking, that there may be an organ not working as well as it should to maintain a level of health. In other words, it's just below that level possibly, and so it's the body's not producing all healthy cells, but it's producing some deficient cells. That can come from many reasons. But a deficient organ can be one of the reasons. And so we feel that it would be good for them, and they need something like this to be available to them. Do you see? I'll broaden on that when we get back a little bit. But Consuelo...
Okay, I give the number real fast.
Yeah.
1-866-472-5792. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5792.
Toll-free.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I might have gotten cut off at the end.
It's all right. You gave at least one, I think, came through.
Oh.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to Cancer Forum, FACT's quarterly magazine, FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
I guess we're back again. And I hope you've stayed with us. During the intermissions, Consuelo and I have an opportunity to talk, and some things come up that she may suggest or I may think of. And one thing Consuelo brought up was the fact that the glandulars are sold in health food stores. It's pretty widespread and well known in the health food stores these days. And I think what you need to do is to be sure you're getting good quality material. If need be, if you're uncertain of the brand by any chance, and we're not going to promote any one brand for you, but if you're uncertain of the brand, pick up your telephone, try to get in touch with the company, ask all your questions, and if you're satisfied with that, you go ahead and take them. Or even talk to the owner of the health food store and see what he knows about the glandular that he's putting on his shelf. And if he determines that's not quite what you want, he may get something that you want. Do you see?
Are there any caveats right off the bat you could let people know?
There's a standard thing we always talk about, and we say don't take anything with coloring in it.
Yeah.
Because that ultimately, you're going to take this for a long time. It's easy to take. It's good for you. And the coloring may in time create a problem that the glandular can't undo.
What about calcium as a binder is used in...
What is that?
Calcium. Compounds of calcium is often used as a binder in some of these supplements.
It can be, and I think in those instances, they ought to call the company and find out just what they're using. There's so many different kinds of calcium, so if it just says calcium, you want to find out whether it's a natural calcium or something like here's what they might use. They can use seashells, eggshells, and consider that calcium. And some of the stuff that might create is something like Tums. And you want to get to know what that is and see if they're using any of those calciums. And you don't want that in any product that you're taking, not just the glandular, because it will build up after a while. We've been harping on the, and I mean harping, it's really the term to use, on the fact that you cannot take those artificial calciums. And we've had people who've read our magazine, and we've put an article after article in it. I feel that the bane of the health movement, there are three things: canola oil, soy, and calcium. Mm-hmm. They're promoted in a way that lets the public think that they're essential, they're good for them, and there's no harm.
And more is better.
And more is better. But actually, the very opposite of what they're saying applies to that. And I could go into depth, but I don't think this is the time to do it. But to talk about the calcium, I've said this before, and I have a tendency to repeat myself because some people don't get it the first time around. They hear it a second time and a third time, and all of a sudden they say, oh, all right. And that's this. There was a doctor who, his patient came in, he did an x-ray, and he saw on the x-ray that there was a mass. And so he proceeded to go in to do surgery. And what he found that mass was a calcium deposit. Because that kind of calcium is not absorbed. Sometimes the system will pick it up and deposit it in the bone structure, because the bone needs it so desperately. It takes this artificial calcium, but it's not true bone. It's very brittle bone, which means it would easily break. It's not substantial. If you want calcium, you take calcium. By the way, one doesn't even have to take a calcium tablet. What is not known and understood is nature knows that the body requires a lot of calcium. After all, look at all the bone structure from head to toe, nails, teeth, you see. And the body needs calcium to build blood. Otherwise, it will affect the heart. All right, so nature in its wisdom, knowing that, has created a situation where you'll find calcium in nearly every single product there is to eat. And that's your raw vegetables, and that's good quality calcium that the body will utilize in the way it's supposed to use it. It's in nuts, seeds, grains,
vegetables.
I just said vegetables.
Oh, sorry.
Fruit in just about everything. Now, the calcium, there's calcium in milk too and in milk products. That's not as good as the vegetable calciums and these other things in the nuts and the grains. You see, we don't metabolize milk that well because our bodies don't contain the enzyme, which is lactase. You know, whenever we use a term and there's ASC at the end or ZYME, that's an enzyme. And I think by this time I might have talked enough for people to realize that enzymes are the catalysts that help your food to break down into microcomponents to make it available at the cell level. That's what enzymes are for. We've put articles in our magazine about enzymes, and it wasn't until this last article somehow or other caught the attention of more people, and we had more calls about enzymes as though there was an awakening. People are taking mineral tablets, vitamin tablets. None of those things are metabolized without enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
Enzymes break your food down into microcomponents, so all those elements are then available for repair and to do the work they're supposed to do in the body. But, and I'm going to say that again probably one day. Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say, but specifically about calcium, if you are eating a more or less balanced whole foods diet and are still having a calcium problem, it's more or less an absorption problem based on low thyroid, isn't that right?
Yeah, I would call it it's not being metabolized.
Metabolized, right.
Yeah. That, in other words, the thyroid isn't working sufficiently enough to break it down into those micro components, and it needs to. If the thyroid is working inefficiently, it will strain the pituitary gland. It will strain the adrenals, the liver, the pancreas. Do you see what happens there? Mm-hmm. When any organ is not working sufficiently, it will strain other organs, mm-hmm. you see. And let's go back a little bit about the thyroid, because I think we'll harp on it enough until people are going to be so conscious of it there won't be any doubt about giving it the attention that it needs. What is going on today? These chemical pesticides that are added to the food we eat, and it's not just the food, it's from the seed to the table that those pesticides are put into food. When we use the term pesticides, we mean the whole range of chemicals that are there that are not necessarily needed, but they're done for various reasons, which sometimes is more productive for the suppliers than it is for the consumer. And what happens here is when those pesticides mimic hormones, mimics estrogen. Now, one mustn't assume that applies only to females. It applies to males as well. And you get a hormonal imbalance. And that hormonal imbalance will cause the thyroid not to produce adequate hormones. Now, and you can know what it does when there's, it's a known fact that in males there's low sperm count, which sometimes makes it impossible for his wife to conceive, and he doesn't realize that it's not really a weakness on his part. There's trouble there from the pesticides, and that can be taken care of. One can do some detoxification techniques. I'm in the process of trying to write a book on toxicity and detoxification, but I don't wait for the book. If you need that kind of detoxification, there are places you can go. There are books that will help you to understand how to detoxify, to get some of those poisons to be sloughed off and out of the body, and nature will cooperate. It isn't as though it penalizes the person. Now you've done it, now you suffer with it for the rest of your life. It's not true. I was in a bad diet for years of my life, and I didn't change my lifestyle until I was 55 years old. And the body responded in spite of the fact that I had been on drugs of all kinds. So trust your body and trust Mother Nature.
Good words.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Your life, your health, your network. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
Are you tired of being tired? Are you sick of sitting around while life passes you by? You can get back on track by tuning in to Voice America Health and Wellness every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time for Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look. Attracting Abundance is the program that empowers you to finally break through your limiting beliefs and blocks and shows you how to succeed in all areas of your life, from improved financial abundance, health and weight problems, as well as your relationships. Don't wait another week to be joyful. Listen to Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look, this Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Back here for our last segment, and Consuelo, you wanted to give them the call-in number.
Might as well give the call-in number one more time. 1-866-472-5792. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5792.
All right, since we don't have a caller, I think we ought to mention Organic Consumers Association, because they're going to be the catalyst for us to correct some of the things that our FDA and our USDA are doing. As consumers, we need to do something. We cannot go along having our water polluted, our food polluted, and in consequence, our air is polluted. Cancer is rising. The incidence of cancer today is 1 out of 3 women, 1 out of 2 men. So you can see something needs to be done about it. So Consuelo, since you keep more up to date on the OCA, why don't you tell them what the things are now?
Yeah, well, I've gotten into the habit of checking this every day because it's so interesting. Organicconsumers.org, O-R-G. And there you'll see some particular actions you can take. It only takes a minute or so, but there is growing concern about the watering down of the organic rules, USDA, as we have them now. For instance, they want to say that over 500 synthetic substances can be added without any review to things that are being labeled organic. They also want to put in a lot of typical factory farm practices into raising animals such that they don't have pasture time and that they can be fed antibiotics if they're later converted to organic. So it's very important if you go there and you can click on, it says, tell USDA prohibit factory farm organics, and it's a comment period that ends June 12th. If you just click there, you just sign your name, it doesn't take any time at all. That will go to Congress. And there's lots of other things interesting, but I think what people are mainly concerned about is that that word, when you see it in the supermarket, USDA organic, we would like it to mean high quality. Unfortunately, it's getting to the lowest.
But not
common,
just high quality.
Well,
we want it to be
truly organic.
Pesticides, yes.
Yes, but it's becoming the lowest common denominator that they can get away with, unfortunately.
Yeah. High quality. I'll take things organic with brown spots sooner than take something looking wonderful all loaded with pesticides.
Absolutely.
You see, we have a different standard here. Yes, I don't think you suggested, and we should, that they can go to that site and
subscribe. Sure.
And they will then get that publication on the internet, on the email, and they can keep up to date, and not only keep up to date, but join us expressing our point of view when OCA decides, let's do something as a unified force and let our legislators know what we like and what we don't like, and that we are voting.
That's right. And this organization seems to really be taking the lead. Its membership is very large, and they can carry a lot of weight if we work together. So you can just go in on the first page of the website. It's got a place for your email to subscribe, and it's all free. It will come as a newsletter to your email. It's really worthwhile.
Yeah, and they are our guide in leading all of us, all the organizations that are interested, leading us in a way that will produce good results. I understand there was a bill before the Senate that they thought was just going to float through, and they made a note of telling their subscribers about it, and it didn't pass.
That's right.
So this is what we need. We need to see to it that what we want, the purity in our foods. We want to make sure that we're not being contaminated to the point where we're developing all sorts of health problems, and even to the extreme of developing cancer. When patients hear that word, it really scares them. They go into an emotional turmoil. Mm-hmm. You see, and I can understand that, although we have seen many successes with patients that are turning in another direction, nourishing the body the way it should be. In other words, enhancing the body's ability to control its health problems. That's what it amounts to.
Host resistance.
Host resistance. And I think if we all look in that direction, we're going to defeat some of these maybe we ought to say corporations, because I don't think USDA would have gotten involved in changing the value of the word organic if it hadn't been under pressure from corporations. Mm-hmm. But I think what we need to know is we're still in a democracy, and numbers count, and those of us who care about the word organic to remain as true as it should, we're a larger body than the producers are, and it will work for us.
As you've said many times, we vote with our dollars, and when you can buy, you know, with some farmers,
that's another way of
locally,
doing.
Or at least let people know what you're looking for, what you're not happy with. And they want your dollars, they will have to change eventually if enough people express that kind of feeling.
Yes.
So you have a lot of power.
Yes, as a consumer, if the things remain on the shelf and they're not used, they're going to change their tactics. I don't understand why some of these companies who are interested in this $22 billion industry that the organic industry has become, that they just didn't change the quality of what they were producing instead of trying to get USDA to water down the products. And wait, that's the wrong way of putting it. To water down the term, actually, and allow 5% of these pesticides to go into the food supply and still use the organic label. Well, that is not in the consumer's interest.
No, they want the cachet of that label, and of course it does cost more than regular.
Let them produce the right products and they can have all the business they want, but to do this artificially and somewhat sneakily is not going to produce good results finally.
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder if I think we have covered the area of glandulars, and I think you know the story about it, the value of it, and now it's up to you to look for these glandulars if you want them, and know that they're not harmful, that they produce good results, that many people are using them. In some instances, if they take something for the liver, it enhances liver function. Something for the kidneys, it works well for the kidneys, and they're just comfortable to use and not expensive and do a big job. And that's what we want, a little effort and a big job.
Of course, our hope for the future, if we can be a little perhaps overly optimistic, is if the stem cell research for the umbilical cord blood does successfully able to show results and perhaps lyophilize the material, these can be taken in the future by everyone at low cost as just a daily kind of health measure. Wouldn't that
yes.
be possible?
All right, and I think New Jersey probably is committed in the most honest way of any group yet, and I think they're going to show results.
They want to be a model for the country. They have
yes, and that's what I was coming to, that it will be a model for other states to follow, because there's no reason for them not to follow when they recognize that it is going to be good for their constituency. And I think most of these people in the states care about that. They're not concerned about a pharmaceutical company. As a matter of fact, you can understand if they were catering to money in New Jersey, I think the largest pharmaceutical companies are located in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It is known to to have those companies, but what they're doing is the honest thing, and maybe ultimately the pharmaceutical industry might consider doing some research, funding some research with lyophilized placenta and cord blood, and that they will find that they've got an enormous market there, a worldwide market, if that works, and that research is not complicated at all. It's one of the simplest things I can envision where research goes, because some of the things are so complicated, especially taking some fetal cells and cloning them and then trying them out individually. How does it work on breast cancer? How does it work on colon cancer? How does it work on lung cancer? Can you imagine that process, going through all of that with some of these things to try to prove something? They'll be at that for years before they even come to a conclusion that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
That's right. This could be
my
available.
Prediction is that it won't work.
Yeah.
And if the pharmaceutical industry is looking for cloning as the answer, they should investigate lyophilizing. It's a much more inexpensive way of doing things.
And tremendous potential for health, for
yes.
overall improvement of health. It's really quite amazing, the possibilities.
Yes. And to have that available easily for patients to use, doctors to use with their patients, it should be in the medical community's control. We've never tried to bypass the medical community. There's sometimes the glandulars are all right, but if they're not all right, you still have to see your doctor. They've got good training. Sometimes we need them to use in place of pharmaceutical things. Maybe there's something more natural that can be used that does no harm in the long run, instead of some of the pharmaceuticals, which nearly all have adverse reactions. Nearly all of the substances, and the pharmaceutical company doesn't even try to hide that. Do you see? The doctors know it. All the information is in the physician's desk reference so that they can learn about it. But there are also natural remedies that were in existence before the chemical age. By the way, people may not realize that chemical age only came about after World War II.
Right.
I think we're at the end of our program.
That's
I right. hope it's been worthwhile. We'll be back again next Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Take care. Have a good week.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.
And a good weekend. It's Decoration Day weekend.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Health Forum. To contact Ruth about the show, visit fact-ltd.org or call 212-741-2790. That's 212-741-2790. Tune in next Wednesday for another hour of Health Forum with Ruth Sackman.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to